Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. We're back at the Missouri Capitol. We are with the 57th governor of the great state of Missouri, Governor Mike Parson. Thank you for the hospitality.
Oh, good to be here, Scott. Good to have you in here at the Capitol today.
We're recording this right after the State of the State speech. This one was a little different, kind of like how many things in culture are we saying now? Well, it's a little different, COVID and things. There was a lot of talk about where you gave the speech. What would you have somebody know that didn't get to see it about what was in the speech?
You know, I think we've had so many adaptions the last 10 months that we've had to change on the dime so many times to do something. Unusual where we did the speech yesterday, having a chance in the Senate chamber, but a great opportunity for me. I stood up on that dais many years, enjoyed being up there, and to be back there was a little bit on the home court, I want to say, and then be able to deliver the speech. In the middle of everything we've been through over the last 10 months, to be able to go up there and talk about positive things, about hope, about the future of this state, about workforce, people going back to work, preserving the American dream. The things that I think the basic principles of who we are in Missourians is who we are. And I think those are the things that I really felt really good about yesterday talking about and how we can improve on that, how we can make people's lives better. And I think maybe because of the gray hair, maybe because of being a father and a grandparent, you know, I want these kids to have the same opportunities that I've had, to be able to come from absolutely nowhere to speak of, and nobody ever thinks you're going to be where you're at. But I want some kid to live the dream that I've got to live, and many other people in their lives. And that's kind of what the State of the State was about yesterday.
So a lot of folks keyed on the Medicaid part of it.
Right.
So the way the number is going to work out, you're going to be able to fund Medicaid. You don't have to cut anything else. But is that because the state's got a pretty good bank balance with that federal money?
Most certainly. Most certainly. The thing everybody has to realize, we've had two revenues in 1 year as far as collecting taxes. That didn't happen. That's just a particular thing. So it makes it look like we're flush. But look, anytime you're adding 275,000 people, able-bodied working adults, I might add. This is not kids, this is not anything. These are just able-bodied people on there. 275,000. It's going to cost a significant amount of money. And I'm talking hundreds of millions. So this year, yeah, we're a little more fortunate how we could be able to fund that. But I'm telling you, next year, the next couple of years, will be problematic of how we're going to pay for that.
Well, I guess the question is, what would you spend that money on? I mean, I heard you talk about rural broadband. But I got to think the state wants to do more on that.
Oh, I think without a doubt, you know, I think, Scott, the one thing 2020 has really exposed us to us is how weak we are in a lot of areas for virtual and broadband. And not only just in rural Missouri, we normally talk that because we're from there, but actually in the urban areas, they still got problems with broadband, more than you would think on high speed and things of this nature. And I think that exposed we got to do more, but I also think some of that money could have very easily went towards transportation. Across the state, doing more bonding, doing more projects across there, that's good for everybody. So,
all right, so it was a little odd. I think you started the day thinking he's going to be on one side of the building giving your speech, like normal. By 3 o'clock, you're on the Senate side. I noticed you did have the full leader of the House, the pro tem of the House, and of course the Senate floor leader and pro tem there. How did you end up across the hall here?
Well, I, you know, needless to say, a lot of things happened yesterday we wasn't expecting. It was very unfortunate. Not so much unfortunate for me in the governor's office, but actually for the state of Missouri. Frankly, it was a little bit of an embarrassment situation that we were in yesterday. But, you know, again, one thing about my staff and the people that work for me, we're used to adapting to things like that. And it was unfortunate that it all occurred the way it did yesterday, the late notice and all the things that happened. But at the end of the day, we never did have anything in our minds other than to give a state of the state, their tradition to the people of this state. And we were going to do that. And the elected officials had every right to be in there, the statewide, the Supreme Court, who wanted to be there during this time. And I thought it was important for me to maintain that. We never, ever talked about doing it virtual. All along, we were going to do this. And I'm thankful for Senator Schatz for showing his leadership and being able to allow us to put that together within, frankly, a couple hours. But I think the one thing about yesterday that's probably disappointing to me is all the people that put work into that behind the scenes, and then all of a sudden it's almost they were totally disrespected for what they were doing. So anyhow, it is what it is.
You got a few folks that I guess at Super Bowl time deserve a game ball in that OA department. That a lot of people watched it. I mean, there's a lot of folks watching it maybe that wanted to go, like a, you think about a freshman representative, there's a big deal to them that didn't get to go. But if you're not in Jeff City, you watch it. There's some IT people that made some miracles happen to make that look as good as it did.
Oh, I think some of the people we had yesterday did some incredible things in just hours, hours that normally sets weeks to set an event up, that we'd been practicing ready for that day, and all of a sudden you change it on a dime. I think you got OA, you got Desi, you got just maintenance people, just all kinds of people that did remarkable things in a few hours to be able to put that together. And but anyhow, the end of the day, we got the job done, which is that's the end of the game, is to win the game. And I think yesterday was a time for us that we could share when we walked out of there that we thought we pulled this off. People got what they needed to see in the state of the state, that message out there, and the people involved were there.
Let's talk about COVID. I mean, you feel like there might be a little light at the end of the tunnel where COVID's concerned, but you know, people to this day are still getting sick, some are dying. Tell me, I know that Robert Nodell, a Southeast Missouri guy, and your office is kind of over administering the vaccine. How do you feel like it's going?
You know, we're doing very well. Our state has been remarkable where we've went all through this, as tough as it's been. It's been one of the toughest things I ever went through. But I'm just so thankful to the people in our state that's put their best foot forward to fight COVID-19. And despite all the misinformation out there of the media that I want to say that has a propaganda that they want to support or a bias agenda or a political agenda against my administration, you know, the reality of it is Missouri is third in the United States for the least amount of COVID-19 cases per 100,000 positive rate, behind North Dakota and Oregon. But you're never going to see that on the front pages or anything like that, you know. But our vaccine program is going just like everybody else's. We're plenty happy with it. We're glad the National Guard is involved. The one thing that Missourians just need to understand that I think is just critical, and I know the vast majority of them do, the demand is much larger than the supply. Until that catches up, it's going to be problematic. Something every day somebody's going to question the decisions you make. You just got to keep moving forward.
Well, let me ask you, do you feel like the federal government's done a good job getting the supply they have divvying up fairly and to get it out to you?
You know what, I'll be fair to the federal government, and probably I bash them enough as much as anybody did as a state governor, but the reality of it is, what's happened in the last 10 months is probably remarkable that most of us have never seen in our lives, for the federal government to do what they've done in such a short period of time, even develop a vaccine in 10 months, is just incredible. And trying to get that out to every aspect of the United States of America has to be a daunting job. I know how difficult it is, one governor, to be able to get it in Carter County or Mercer County, and then compared to St. Louis and Kansas City. But you know what? I think for the most part, everybody's been trying to do the best they can to get this out and to get it there. Am I disappointed I haven't had more vaccine? Am I disappointed because Walgreens and CVS didn't do what we felt like they should have done as quick a pace? Yes. But regardless of that, you got to keep moving forward, and you got to still find alternative ways to get vaccine in people's arms. That's what we're doing.
So right now, who's eligible to get the vaccine in Missouri?
65 years and older, and if you have underlying health conditions to that, you can do that. First responders, and then our healthcare workers. But I'll tell you who's not. Legislators are not. And for anybody that took advantage of that to utilize their positions to go out there and get a vaccine was totally uncalled for. And they know what the tiers are and what the regulations are. For them to say like they were confused and didn't know.
Now, a legislator that's over 65, though, would be eligible,
like
anybody
staff,
else.
Yeah. If you were 65 years old, you had a staffer in this building that met. We won them. That's exactly what it was set up for. But you've seen yesterday a lot of people take advantage of that. It was unfortunate they used their positions to do that.
I would reckon that's probably been shut down, right?
Most certainly. That's not going to happen.
Well, let me ask you a question. There's, if I had to guess, folks that are skeptical about this vaccine might have voted for you. My mama down in West Butler County, she's a Mike Parson voter. Little skeptical about the vaccine. Have you taken it yet?
I have not.
Will you take it?
Yes, I will, to answer that question. The reason I haven't taken it, me and the First Lady both had the virus. Mm-hmm. We know kind of what our odds are and what the percentages are for us. Right now, I think it's so much important for people that needs it a lot worse than I do. Yeah. And I get being governor. I don't want to get sick or don't want to have problems either from this position, because you do have a tremendous amount of responsibility on you. But right now, I'm pretty secure with what I know about this to be able to move forward. I will be more than happy to take the vaccine when it comes more available, and probably when I can get it done.
Let me ask you this. When, take a guy, a 40-year-old guy, somewhere in Scotland County right now, over in Memphis, maybe works at the Pepsi distributorship there. When can he expect to be eligible to get the vaccine?
You know what, I think when you get to the next layer, it's gonna be a significant layer when you get, that's your teachers, essential workers, things like that. But I'm gonna say the general public, you're gonna see a lot more of this, probably about 30 to 60 days into this, a little bit further. I think it's gonna be a lot faster pace than we think, because I think you're gonna have Johnson & Johnson, I think you're gonna have other vaccines coming available. So we now have the green light to put our National Guard. entirely to its full strength if we can get vaccines. So like this weekend, we're running nine sites around the state. So that's 2,000 to 2,500 shots per site for nine sites. If we get enough vaccine, I'll put 30 sites out there. I'll put whatever it takes to go out there, 24 hours a day, whatever it is.
There ain't no vaccine sitting in a warehouse around Jeff City, right?
There ain't no vaccine sitting anywhere. Yeah. You know, one of the things too, I think is so misleading about the reporting done. When you take one metric out of any of this reporting, you can write a positive story, you can write a negative story, if you just use one metric out of that. So I think it's really important when we address this issue, you look at Missouri data, look at our information, because that's the most update. Not the CDC, not the Washington Post, just look at Missouri if you're a Missourian. Your mom, that's where she needs to look to see, to get her data. And that'll be the most accurate data.
When do you think folks will feel like things are back? I think every time I've interviewed about this, when do you think folks will kind of get back to how they feel normal again?
You know, I think you'll see it late spring, early summer. I think you'll see a lot of activities go back. I think you'll see sports pick back up. I think you'll see people back out, some socializing. But I think, again, we got to be very cautious until we get this vaccine. It all depends on how much vaccine we get between now and then. But COVID-19 is going to be here, Scott. I mean, it's not going to go away. So we got to deal with it for a while.
You mentioned the National Guard. They went out to Washington, I guess, to help out with some of the trouble out there. It was shocking to me to watch that. To watch folks do that to the Capitol and break things and stuff, and you wonder how the people get off work, and you wonder the stuff they're breaking, the folks that are working that they got to pay for.
Right.
What were you thinking when you saw that?
You know, disappointed to say the least that we've seen people, you know, breaking into the Capitol, doing things that are illegal, irresponsible. You know, people should be held accountable for that. But I've said that all year long, no matter whether it's the civil unrest, whether it's Washington, D.C., you know. And that is a small number of people that does those type of things. They ought to be held accountable. That doesn't mean that everybody in that entire groups are labeled the same. Some people are out there doing legit peaceful protest, as we know in this state. But it's pretty a biased situation anymore, a lot of it on the political arena, how we adjust these things. But what the people did, they should be accountable for, and they should be held accountable for.
Let me ask you a question. It's an odd one, and I think I probably could guess the answer, but do you think Joe Biden won the presidential election?
I do. I do. I think he was sworn in as president of the United States, and you know I'm old school about that. When that's conducted and that's process is done, that's who the commander in chief is. Like it, whether you like him or not, it's about the presidency of the United States. So I do believe he is the president of the United States.
Ask you another electoral question. I mean, a lot of states, including Missouri, changed the way they voted a little bit because of the virus. Missouri allowed you a little bit easier time to vote absentee.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning whether that was effective and fair and done right.
Right. Well, I think if you took a look at Missouri, almost a model for the rest of the states in the United States, we made adjustments. We didn't dilute the your dignity of a vote. We just made it a little easier for some people to vote that needed a little help at a time in a crisis. And it all worked, and we went right back the way it was. Elections will start back in March and April and back in.
Do you plan to start them back the way they were? Are you open to the new way continuing?
Well, I haven't talked to the Secretary of State about that yet, but I would assume we'd go back to where it was, as long as it can be done safely, depending on where you're at, different elements. But again, I think that's a question I'd have to have a conversation with him to say that.
You know, I think Jay Ashcroft deserves a pat on the back. If he'd have messed this election up, everybody'd been out of the Kirkpatrick building, just all in an uproar. Yeah. He did a good job, I think.
Most certainly. I mean, you know, Jay did a really good job around this state. I think when I had an opportunity to go to St. Louis, to there up there where Rick Streams, one of the chairs up there, and Democrats and Republicans working up there. And I was totally impressed when I left there of how well I thought and how efficient that was being run. And I've heard all the stories, you know, of all the things that occur in the cities, but I was totally impressed when I walked out of there. And I think all of that proved out as this election went forward in some of the most difficult circumstances. Our local level county clerks that were there every day on those local levels in the middle of total chaos, put those ballots in there, took the votes, people went in there and took care of them. My hat's off to them, especially in those counties across our state. That's,
think about Angie Curley, Tanya Deffendahl. I mean, you go on and on, the county clerks, that they do this all the time. The fair election, something they do all the time. Let me ask you about the two senators. I know you talk to Roy Blunt frequently. He speaks very highly of you all the time, actually. You talked to Josh Hawley, Cinder Hawley. Been there a little bit.
We actually have conversations with the federal delegations. Matter of fact, we already had one this week, kind of explained the state of the state, kind of what some of the misinformation was out there on the media this week, so they kind of get an idea. But we talked to the federal delegation quite a bit during this time. I probably talked to Senator Blunt by far more than I do Cinder Hawley. Just simply, probably there's more of a relationship there, and he's a senior senator, so
yeah.
He's a little bit of a go-to guy sometimes when we're trying to get stuff done for the state.
We're going to be right back this week in Missouri Politics. We'll finish up with Governor Brush. We're going to try to get a Chiefs Super Bowl prediction out of him when we come back after this. But first, go to showmissouri.com, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week, we're here in Phelps County, Missouri, where the railroad ended at the war, all kinds of history. Railroad ended in Bolivar, too, didn't it?
Right
before the war.
That's right.
Go to showmissouri.com, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. We'll be right back after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work. Ameren, Missouri.
Welcome back this week in Missouri Politics from the beautiful state capitol with the 57th governor of the state of Missouri. Governor Parson, thanks for sticking with us.
No, good to be here.
So a lot of stuff, I know the legislature always has its own ideas, that they gave their own speeches about what they wanted to send to you. Whether that met up with your state of the state, I think there was some overlap, but not sure. First thing the Senate kind of looks like it's teeing up is COVID liability. Essentially, if you were just doing what you thought was right, you don't get sued over COVID, right?
Right, right. And I think that's critical. I think when we were in the heat of the battle, I want to say definitely in the trenches, we were asking Missouri companies all over the state. I was personally calling people on the phone, saying, would you be willing to remanufacture your company to make gowns, to make face masks, to make gloves, whatever it was we needed at the time, and people were willing to do that. Frankly, and I think it's important to remember, they brought their employees back in at a time when most of them, a lot of people would probably rather stayed at home. Some of them were scared and everything, but they come back and went to work. And for our churches, for our schools, for our healthcare workers, for convenience store workers, you just go on down the list. But none of them should have been punished for really trying to help in the middle of a crisis. You know, I look at that somewhat like in the battle of a war, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do at the time, you know, to say keep the high ground. And that's exactly where the position we were in. So,
but if you do find a bad actor out there, I mean, you still could raise a suit.
And I think you could. If you still found a bad actor, he's not going to get a free pass.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be able to go after that. You know, just the way the language is. But what we're basically saying in this language, I'm not sure what the finished product will be, but what I'm saying is if you didn't intentionally to commit a forgery or commit a crime or do something, you know, we want to go make sure you're protected. You know, if a guy wanted to go to church and the pastor says, hey, my church is open, I don't want that guy to be sued because somebody got COVID-19 in there. If you went to school and you did what you're supposed to do, like 83% of our kids were in classroom settings, I don't want them to be subject to lawsuits because somebody had them to go to school. I don't want school administrators to be sued for that. You know, common sense approach is the best way I can tell you, but.
Big issue they've got teed up that dates back when you were in the Senate. They want to do some changes to public schools, I mean, charter schools or something. It always interests me. I never heard a Bolivar Liberator or a West Plains Zizzer or an Ellington Whippet ever say they want a charter school.
Yeah.
Never heard a Sykeston Bulldog say I want a charter school.
Yeah.
Is this really a rural Missouri problem?
You know, probably not as much. It's not as much a rural Missouri, but I will say this, however. What we've been through in the last 10 months is going to expose a lot of different things. Through virtual learning that we've all heard so much about, we've been promoted whatever angle. What I do think is we need to evaluate all the programs. At the end of the day, what is the best fit for the kid, what's the best fit for the parents, and what options do they have?
But have you ever heard of Farmington Knight ask you for a charter school?
No.
Is it maybe a St. Louis thing?
Well, it's most definitely more of an urban issue than it is rural Missouri. I mean, you know, for the most part, most of us on the local levels, we know our communities, we know our school board members. You know, there's not a lot of things going on other than probably a lot of farmers, good working people, business people on school boards, just trying to make sure their school systems work good. But they have also a very investment, I want to say their own personal investment in those kids, because most of their kids have been through that school system.
It is, like with COVID, it was interesting to me to watch how you let different communities respond differently. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that worked out very, very well for the state of Missouri. And it seemed to be something you could replicate a lot because, as you've said, it is a very diverse state.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question looking back on it. And there's plenty of sleepless nights. I wonder, are you making the right decisions? Are you doing the things? You have to self-think. I mean, when you think about things like that and you have all that responsibility, you got to kind of every once in a while look back there and say, hey, am I really doing the right thing? But I believe the local control issue. I believe kids going to school was the best thing. And now that we've been through this for 10 months, we know that that was the right thing, especially when it comes to businesses, not shutting businesses down. And now we know on the national, everybody's saying, yeah, we got kids back in school, should have had them in school. Well, I'm thankful we made that decision way earlier.
It looks like there's a bunch of legislators, maybe Jim Murphy out of South St. Louis County leading the charge, going to send you a lot of bills that deal with how to tie the hands of some of those more urban health departments.
Most certainly.
How's that strike you?
Yeah, you know what? I think that all needs to be evaluated, there's no doubt. And I won't say just much urban, I'll say rural. There was people in rural Missouri that took advantage of the position they were in to do some things that were definitely unethical. They shouldn't have been doing some things to their local communities. I think all of that needs to be analyzed and see how we can do it better and still maintain local control.
I'd say some of those clerks might see a record filing for the county health board this year.
I'd say there'll be some changes around the state. Yeah, there'll be a lot of that.
Let me ask you about police reform. Senator Williams has a bill that was you talked about it earlier last summer and fall. Yeah. It looks like it's sort of moving through the process. It's actually a bill that's signed off on by several of the sheriff's associations and police groups. Yeah. Is that something, as a former police officer yourself, that you anticipate being able to sign?
You know, I'm always reluctant to say what I would sign, what I would not, because I don't know what the finished product. But one thing is, Senator Williams, Brian, I really like Brian. I think he's really trying to find what it is he can get done, knowing what he's got to be able to get to a General Assembly. So I think there is options out there. We can do a better job. I've always said that. And law enforcement's no example. I mean, there's times we need to change policy, needs to change procedures to do things better.
It looks like it's also just requiring a lot more training. And probably putting some things into law that are already policy that you can't do. Like you can't choke someone in St. Louis already.
Right.
Maybe codifying that in policy.
Yeah. I think anything, those things are all the hot button issues are out there. I think you need to take a look at, is there a better way to do it? And also understand though, also keep in mind, every situation is different for a police officer. Especially if somebody's violent, especially if somebody's ODing on drugs, you know. And you're dealing with these people. You know, you see a lot of times just average people do whatever you can to protect yourself and save yourself. And you just get into those situations sometimes. Nobody can write the book what every situation is going to be like and how you're going to handle it. But I do think the training, the procedural process is important. And, you know, in today's world with phones, with cameras and everything on you, you better be going out there following the guidelines that you're at, or somebody's going to find out you're not.
You know, a lot of this feels like it's a little it's symbolic maybe. But there's a lot of Missourians, a lot of your constituents have taken to the streets to protest. Some did right down High Street early this summer.
Right.
When that many people have something on their minds, do you think this is a signal to them that when you said you would listen to them, you weren't just words, you meant it?
Well, I think not only do you listen to it and you mean it, what are you going to do? What's the action going to take? You know, one of the first things we did is we asked the Post Commission to say, hey, let's change the standards on our training of law enforcement. How do we do de-escalation? You know, how do we treat bias, somebody that's biased? That training needs to be in there so people know that. I think one of the things you realize too is, you know, a Kansas City environment, Columbia, even Springfield now, is much different than a small county out there. You know, the situations are just different. So what that training has to adapt to is for a statewide type of training facility, you got to kind of think into all those pieces that you're going to be dealing with. And I think that's what the Post Commission did.
How proud were you to be able to have the law enforcement training go into Lincoln University?
I mean, you know, that's one of the awesome things I get to do as governor. I mean, can you imagine the first time in the United States of America, right here, Lincoln University, African-American University, is going to get to have a law enforcement training. You know, I mean, those are the kind of things I think you're going to be thinking about someday. You know what?
Yeah.
I had a small part in that when I hear of a police officer coming from Lincoln University.
When I talk to police officers and even city council members, especially in the urban and suburban areas, they very much want to have African-American police officers. They're very valuable, and they do are recruited, but there's not a large supply of them. It was a great idea to put that out at Lincoln.
Well, I mean, you got there, you got Harris Stowe, you got some other universities, and I tell you something, not publicly I'm going to release, but I guess I am because I'm getting ready to say something
just between
right
two,
here, live, all that. You know, and whatever you said, well, whatever he said this and said this. But, you know, one of the things is, not only do I want to get them in there, I want to pay for their scholarships for that. We're looking at some private sector funding to be able to hopefully maybe this first class or the first bodies go through that their training is paid for. Because that is something that's very difficult for somebody out here that's out there working, got a family, trying to go to school, pay for that, and to go into law enforcement. And I think we got some avenues we'll get to announce before long. Some companies in St. Louis, some major people stepping up and say, hey, I want to help with this. So we're kind of excited about that.
I know we ain't been on the job long, but have you had anybody reach out to you from the Biden administration?
You know, we have. We've had some conversations with the White House about COVID, some different things going on that, but never had a one-on-one contact with the president yet. You know, I'm sure we'll, but it's just a matter, I'm sure his administration's busy right now. We're going into the middle of we've had to stay the state. We're dealing with the virus like they are. So that's nothing too shocking to me. Yeah. I mean, communications are there, and we'll have communications with him. Look, at the end of the day, I want the president of the United States to do well.
Yeah.
You know, I seriously do. And it goes all the way from when I was in the military. When you learn the commander-in-chief is the guy that you work for, you want him to do well. Mm-hmm. And I want the president to do well. We'll see what
happens. Talk about some other folks I think you want to do well. We're 1 week away from the Super Bowl. Give me a Super Bowl prediction.
No, that's easy. 35-21 Chiefs.
I could have guessed Chiefs 35-21. I like that. So that's a confident prediction, right?
Oh, yeah. I think we're on a roll. We're going to be fine.
Good for Brady to have an extra week, maybe. Or, I'm sorry, good for Mahomes to have an extra week, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A little nervous about Brady, though, right? A little nervous.
Look, he's an older guy, you know. To be able to talent
they
up
they call you
Mahomes,
an older guy, and you get by all right.
Yeah, he don't understand age, though. So. I'm just telling you. You know, he's going to wear down. You know, don't worry about Brady.
You're predicting there'll be another parade down to Union Station in Kansas City?
Yeah, that was one of the most awesome things I did when I was governor. So, heck yeah, I want to go back down there. I told the people in Kansas City last year that I said, remember the number 55. Remember Frank Clark's number. Because next time you see that, it's going to be walking down the aisle, the alley in Tampa Bay, out of the stadium, going to Super Bowl 55.
I think the entire state all the way down to Portageville is Chiefs fans a week from now.
Yep.
Governor, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Scott, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
In Louisville, who won the week? I'm going to give one special out to April Bruner, the first lady to command a rifle battalion in the Missouri National Guard. Quite an accomplishment, quite an impressive person. We'll be back next week with This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, one county at a time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually till lunch, and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android. Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.